Whatever tomorrow may hold, whatever may come next week, today in this place, we are one. We give praise to our God as one people. We join together with His Spirit, and there is nothing that can divide us in this moment. For a week can make a lot of difference. Imagine on that Sunday, as Jesus rides in, and the people's praises were much like our own today. Hosanna in the highest, glory to the King, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Their praises were much like ours. And they would return a week later on another Sunday to give praise of a totally different kind, a different group, a smaller group. And yet they would sing praise or grant praise to God on that Sunday as well. And yet, how much difference can a week make? See, for many of us, we go from Sunday to Sunday, and the week is routine. And we may leave this place today and come back here to this place again next week, and not much may have changed. And yet, I imagine many of you, if not most of you, have had one of those weeks where you leave Sunday not knowing what Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday will bring. And you come back the following Sunday and everything has changed. The loss of somebody you love. An upheaval in your own life. A difficulty or a failure in a relationship. A bad decision. Somebody else's bad decision that has affected you. An encounter with God. Something that has drawn you closer to Him. Or perhaps something has taken place that threatens to push you away or sever your tie with Him. How much difference can a week make? You see, the crowds that would celebrate Jesus and cry out and rejoice in His coming today, 3 and 4 days later, will in part betray Him, in part make false accusations against Him, and in part cry out for a murderer to be released to them and for Jesus to be crucified. They celebrated what they thought was a Savior that was coming, that was a Savior of their own making. They expected the Savior to come and serve them. A Savior to come and destroy the Romans and kick them out and reestablish a kingdom of Israel in the city of Jerusalem that would serve their own best interests. And whenever that Savior failed to measure up, whenever He didn't meet their expectations, oh, how quickly did they turn on Him? How quickly did they turn? Jesus, You didn't do what we wanted. You didn't do what we felt like was in our best interests. Maybe God knows more than we do. Maybe You're serving God's best interests, but that's we don't even have time to stop and think about that. We're so enamored with what we want. And so people turn in a moment. And instead of celebrating the Messiah, they scream for the death of one thought to be a false Messiah. How quickly things can change and how much can happen in a week. We'll return back here next Sunday. And we'll celebrate once again, that time not the coming but the resurrection, and it will be a glorious day. But in the meantime, there'll be many opportunities here at our church to recognize some of the more somber moments of Holy Week, because there certainly were a fair share. We'll get together for contemplative and prayerful services on Monday and Tuesday at lunch. We'll have a time of teaching and just kind of a summary of Holy Week on Wednesday evening. We'll get together with our small group communities and just share fellowship and share communion on Thursday night. And then we'll have a time of worship and a time of remembering on Good Friday, the day of the crucifixion, during the afternoon here at church. We certainly invite you to be a part of all of those or as many of those as you can be. just to think about and remember the gap in between the celebrations. Our text today moves forward from the Gospels to the book of Acts, where we've been over the last 10 weeks, and we're drawing near the end of our study of the first half of Acts in the early church. And I think that it connects with our day in as much as we think about those who go from celebrating Christ to cursing Him because events take place and things transpire. Life happens. Life throws us a curve. Life can become very challenging, and it can cause us to shake, can cause us to tremble. Hopefully, we have established a faith strong enough to secure us even in those times. But we've seen in Acts the story of one Saul of Tarsus, who would later become the Apostle Paul, and how he was certainly no different than those screaming out for Jesus to be crucified. After Jesus had gone, he went about trying to do much the same to his followers. And yet we saw a couple of weeks ago about his encounter with the risen Lord and what that meant to him, how that completely changed his understanding of the world and what he thought it meant to follow God and to please God. In Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19, we read really the story of Barnabas. And yet Saul makes a cameo appearance. And it's important to us because as often as we think about Paul and the important work that he would do in the history of the church, there may never have been a ministry of Paul, a mission of Paul. Paul may have never become much more than just a common church member had it not been for somebody who recognized that you can go from being an accuser to being a preacher through the grace of our God, through the mercy that He extends to us. The gospel continues to spread from Jerusalem. Philip has taken it along the coast. We've seen Peter take it to the family of Cornelius and Caesarea. And even now it begins to move beyond the borders of Israel. It says, Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews, Phoenicia being north along the coast, Cyprus, even in the news this past week, being the little island off the coast, and then Antioch being almost as far north as the bend in the Mediterranean Sea, modern-day Turkey, near the border of Syria. The church continues to move and just to creep around the Roman world. It says, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and so they sent Barnabas to Antioch, kind of as an investigatory mission. Barnabas, go check things out. This is outside the borders of Israel. We're still not really comfortable with that. This is expanding to the Greeks. We're still not really comfortable with that, although we recognize the hand of God is at work. And so Barnabas, we send you. Go investigate. And so he does. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. If you follow the bend on around and begin moving back to the west, at that first divot where the Mediterranean Sea makes, you'll find the city of Tarsus. And Barnabas, being as far already as Antioch, decides, I remember seeing this guy. I remember his story. I remember him coming to Jerusalem. Perhaps Barnabas was even there in Damascus whenever Saul became a Christian and began preaching the gospel. But he had wandered away, perhaps spent, from his own letters, he tells us, time in the desert, time in Arabia, and had gone back to his hometown. Perhaps a decade had passed since the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And Barnabas decides to go looking for him. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius, probably around 46-47 AD. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending the gift to the elders by Barnabas and by Saul. We titled the sermon this morning, "Carry On, My Wayward Son," after the Kansas song, as has been our MO throughout this series, in part because I think of Saul, even after his conversion, not really knowing what to do. Not really knowing where to go, wanting to tell the world about Christ, and yet rightfully having earned the suspicion of most Christians wherever he went. The disciples themselves were slow to gain his acceptance, or slow to bring him into the fold. And I would imagine wherever he traveled, he was known as Saul the persecutor even still, instead of Saul the preacher. And how much is it that we attribute to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who would become Paul? The writings, the letters, the teachings, the church planting, the mission work. Do we often think that because we live our lives in some capacity like Saul, because we have a past that we can't get away from, perhaps because we might have been like those in between Sundays that denied Christ, that betrayed Him, that mocked Him, maybe we did very much the same at some point in our life, and we disavowed religion, we disavowed Christianity, we made jokes or we made fun of the Messiah. And we believe that like those in the crowd, or like Judas, or like the disciples who were in hiding, or like Saul, who would be the persecutor of those who would follow the way, that we have burned too many bridges and that we have lost our chance. The story of Saul is one about the wayward son being returned to the path and being given a fresh vision and a new opportunity by which to make a difference and by which to serve. Let nobody think that God cannot do the same in their life. If God could do what He did through one willing and obedient man like Saul, He is the same God with the same Holy Spirit that is made accessible to you. For those who are like Saul today, the story needs to serve as a reminder of how much difference a week can make. A year can make, 10 years can make. Are you at the same place in your faith today as you were a decade ago? Have you moved? Have you grown? Has your influence increased? Has your service become greater? And if you look back and you see that I haven't really moved very far from where I began, then perhaps this Easter season is a time where you make a commitment to begin moving and begin growing, to begin allowing the Holy Spirit that would do such an incredible work in the life of Saul to do the same in your life. But the story is less about Saul today. We'll hear much more about him as you move forward in Acts. But I think the most significant figure in the passage today is Barnabas. Because without Barnabas, for all we know, there would have been no missions of Saul. Saul would not have become Paul. He would not have traveled to Ephesus and to Corinth and to the cities of Galatia and to Thessalonica. And he wouldn't have produced the writings that have guided the church for centuries. He wouldn't have planted churches in the Western world. He wouldn't have planted churches in the Hellenistic world and reached out to Gentile peoples that might have continued to expand to where it would include Gentiles like many of us. Were there no Barnabas, who's to say there would have been a Saul? And so for those of you who may not feel like Saul today, you may feel like my past may not be quite so colorful, or I have rightfully and dutifully put it behind me, and I've embraced the mercy of God, and I'm pressing forward, and I don't stand here or sit here today like Saul, but I sit here today much more as one who is not like him, then I would suggest to you that if you're not here today as a Saul, then you should be here today as a Barnabas. You should be here as one who constantly lives their lives with their eyes open, looking for people in whom to invest of your own faith, invest your own experience with God, to bring somebody along and enable them to do or to follow the path, travel the journey that you yourself have gone on. Into whom are you pouring your spiritual life? This is the sense in which the church has gotten off base. We see this in the early church, whether it's the disciples reaching others, bringing James in, bringing Philip and Stephen in, whether it's somebody like Barnabas going after Saul. This was the early church's MO. There is so much work to be done. We remember Jesus telling us, the field is ripe, the workers are few. The harvest is ready. There are not enough workers to go out into the field. And so what we must be doing is not just collecting people, but we must be taking people and investing in them and pouring a bit of ourselves into them. It really is a goal for the church that anybody in a position of service or in a position of leadership should be training somebody else to take their job. I don't know that Peter saw it that way. I do find it ironic that for all of his importance, that we have two letters of Peter, and I think we have 13 letters of Paul. Paul's writings outdo those of Peter and John combined, if you count epistles, perhaps not gospels. But at some point, I mean, Barnabas was, we don't celebrate him, we don't recognize him. I don't know that he's portrayed in art or pictures going back, you know, centuries. I don't know that he's going to, that books are written about him. I don't know that we'll ever have, you know, plays written about him or songs written about him. All he was a faithful man of God, serving the church, committing of himself, and yet recognizing where the hand of God was present and going and saying, you, I see God at work in you, and I claim your life for the kingdom of God. Come with me. Live with me. Spend time with me. See what I do. Do what I do. Learn to do what I do. Go beyond what I do. Whenever the apprentice has become the teacher, and the teacher's work has been done masterfully. And this is the case with Barnabas and with Saul. Barnabas looks around and says, where was that man? Where's that man that showed such promise, who was such an enemy of the church, who had wandered far away, who was such a wayward son, certainly a wayward son before, and maybe even after? 10 years had passed. And where has Saul gone? Who has heard of him? Where is he? Barnabas goes and says, I'm going to travel over and I'm going to get him and I'm going to bring him. And I'm going to enable God to continue his work in his life. Whatever happens between Sundays, whatever happens between the last time you were in church and this time that you're in church, whatever's happened in your past that might make you feel like you were a Saul, God's Word tells you, I'm merely the messenger today. But God's Word tells us that no matter how wayward a son or daughter you are, God's Spirit makes Pauls out of Sauls. God's Spirit makes preachers, makes missionaries, makes faithful men and women out of persecutors and mockers and scorners. This is the work of God. This is the work of His kingdom. And for all of us, let us constantly be sensitive to our responsibility to be bringing up others and challenging others and raising others just the way Barnabas did. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that for all of us who lived as Saul did at one time and have received your grace, we pause to express our gratitude to you, our thankfulness to you, our wonder at how great your mercies are every day. And Father, that Holy Spirit that enabled common men throughout your word to do extraordinary things, we pray that that Holy Spirit would work in men and women in this church. Father, I have seen it, and I give testimony to the fact that extraordinary things are done by men and women here. May that continue. May it grow, and may it be a light to people who do not yet know you and do not yet believe. Father, may you put in us the eyes and the obedience of Barnabas, that we might be willing to invest of our lives and sacrifice of our lives to train up others to do as we do, to follow the way we do, to serve the way we do, to become disciples of yours. God, we love you, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would work, not just on Sundays, that you would be present with us, not just on Palm Sunday and not just on Easter Sunday and the Sundays, but we pray that, Father, your Holy Spirit would walk with us and commune with us on the days in between. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.